Welcome, welcome, welcome to a new season, season four of the Monty's Men podcast, season four. Wow. Episode 101, actually. We finished the season last year with the episode 100, and here we are, episode 101. So welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. Just so everybody knows, we are a Sevilla English-speaking podcast. We talk about Sevilla FC. Some of La Liga, other teams, but not often, but dedicate most of our time to what's happening in Sevilla with this beloved team of ours. I'm Chris Lell. I kind of run the show kind of a little bit. I don't know, but I got co-hosts that help and make me sound smart, and those guys are Eddie up in Toronto, Canada, and Steve up in Minnesota. How you guys doing?
Eddie. Doing okay. Didn't start off the season as I expected, but it's a long season. I remember using these exact same lines last year. It's match day one, nothing to worry about. It's a long road ahead of us, but I'm doing fairly okay. It's been a decent summer. Didn't get to join you guys out in Mexico and San Francisco, but I'm sure we'll hear about your the exploits out there.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that here in a bit. Steve, how's your summer going?
It's going great. Things are going well at home. Feeling really good about, well, I don't want to say feeling really good. I'm feeling a lot better about Sevilla's summer than I did last summer. Let's just put it that way. And despite the loss today, football is still back. So we got a lot of time left, a lot of football to enjoy. I'm sure we'll have a lot more of these podcasts together while we're commiserating. We'll also be having a lot of happy moments, too. So I'm just excited for what's to come, and I'm happy to be back talking with all of you and interacting on the forums and stuff like that.
I like it. Yeah, if you guys just are now tuning in, we do have a very active forum. It's montysmen.com is the easiest way to get to it. If you go over there, there's a lot of people from all over the world talking about Sevilla in a forum type setting. So come check us out over there. And as always, thanks for listening to this podcast. Guys, the summer, unbelievable, right? Like for me anyway, traveling around the world, meeting new Sevillistas. I actually didn't make it to Detroit, but some of our Monty's Men guys did. I saw those guys posting. Our friend Ray was there, I know, and a few others. But I did make it to Guadalajara, Mexico, which is an unbelievable place. If you guys ever get a chance to go there, definitely do it. People are super friendly, super nice. The architecture is amazing. The art is amazing. It's old. I mean, the architecture, some of that's like 1600s, like when it was, you know, started. So just a brilliant city. We also met the Peña de Mexicans. I forget what they actually call it. Peña de Mexicanos, maybe, down in Guadalajara. They were super welcoming. We, had beers several times throughout the week and, gave us rides back to our, you know, hotel, and then met up after the game. And then just had a great time in the stadium. I thought it was kind of unique. We actually, the Stadio Akron there in Guadalajara, the fans actually get together kind of like you would a tailgate here in the U.S. for a football game. They tailgate prior and after. We actually went to the car of one of the Peña members and, you know, shared some beers after the game and listened to some mariachi music and some other things. It was just a great, like, little experience and time. And then, of course, I went to San Francisco and met some more Civi East is in San Francisco. It was just brilliant. Getting to see some of the team that I've, you know, become familiar with over time, you know, with some of these trips, catching up with them, seeing what's the latest in Sevilla land and talking some, you know, behind the scenes kind of stuff, if you will. Not as much as I would hope to. I was hoping to have a little more time and maybe a little more access to players and that sort of thing. But this tour was a little unique because it was sponsored by La Liga. It wasn't just a team event. So La Liga did a lot of events. My screen just went blank. I hope that wasn't a bad thing.
we still got you.
Okay, good. That was weird. So they were just busy the whole time. That might be one of the reasons we saw the players how they were today. Because, I mean, if you think about it, they left San Francisco Saturday night. They left right after the game, which would have been – they probably left San Fran about 11 p.m. or maybe a little later. And they had – that's like an 11-hour flight time difference. Actually, it's 11-hour flight. Plus all the time zone changes. So it's just nuts to think about where they are mentally. I only had like 3 hours and I'm still recovering. I got home like Wednesday morning and I'm still like kind of like convoluted. So who knows if that has something to play on how they play today, because it just seemed like they were a little tired and lost, and they could be. I mean, they were going. Like poor Tecatito, like in Mexico, he was being pulled at, you know, all these different events and signings, and it's just it was a very, very busy time. Like the guys that I know from the team that we, you know, I would call them friends, I got to see them like maybe 2 hours during both events, and that was at, you know, way past midnight both times. So they just had them going like crazy, not to mention the you know, they had to go to Detroit, which is, you know, from Sevilla's, and, you know, 5-hour, 6-hour flight, whatever it is. Then Guadalajara, which is like a 7-hour flight, I think, something like that. And then to San Francisco is a 4.5-hour flight. So these guys are just all over the place. So it's a bit, I look at today's game a little bit like, maybe they're just, you know, getting back into it. So plus the heat of Sevilla, you know, 105 degrees there today, I saw when I woke up, and then I think 90-something degrees, whatever that is in Celsius. I have no idea. Hopefully, Eddie can help out with that translation. But anyway, fun summer. Met a lot of cool people, a lot of new people already on the forums, and definitely great to spread the brand. And thanks for the folks that came up and said, "Hey, you're Chris Leo." I was like, whoa, this is weird. It was a little strange being like recognized as like somebody. I don't know. It was weird. Anyway, lots of fun. And then Sevilla, man, like they had some off-season changes, and still a lot to go. But Eddie, you want to kind of like talk about the off-season and transfers and that sort of thing and what's going on with the team?
Yeah, we're still kind of in the middle of it, trying to deal with exits more than anything, because there's a lot of players on the squad still. I mean, we've transferred out Rekic and Ronnie Lopez as amongst the first team players. I mean, I know Ronnie Lopez has been in loan hell for quite a few seasons now, so he's finally found a team to stay there permanently at Sporting Braga, and Rekic went out to United Arab Emirates. There was supposed to be a deal out to Saudi Arabia, but he found a club at the Emirates. But Al Jazeera, yeah, that's the club he went to. So we got a little bit for that, but mostly from the exits, it's just been the young players. We had Carmona that left on loan, Luis Mia as well. And just today it was announced that Carlos Alvarez and Ivan Romero are both going to Levante. Those are permanent transfers as well. They both went for free, I believe, and it's just future just future sale residuals that we'll be getting, like a percentage of any future transfers. But in terms of players that came in, we only have Jibril Sow, who came in from Frankfurt, who has a good history inside the Santos Pizjuan, having won the Europa League here in 2022 when they played the final there. But that's a really decent signing, something that we needed in the midfield, absolutely, as we could have seen today. There's definitely something missing creativity-wise, but the whole possession in our own half, I mean, we've been dealing with that for seasons on end. Like, looking at our possession stats, it's always kind of a lie because it's always between the center backs, back to the goalkeeper. Rakitic coming in, they can't find a ball forward. So I feel like Sow is going to help a lot with that. Even in the 20 minutes that he played today, if you kind of pay attention to them, to him, he'll most likely do a forward pass instead of going back easily. I mean, a back pass is always easy. The option is always there, but he's always looking to move the ball forward as well. So he's very versatile in what he could do for us. But we started an 11 with no new players today. So I know Bade got officially signed by us on a permanent deal after being here on loan, but we didn't have any new players until Gattoni came in and Sow came in, as well as the youngin Wan Lu. As it's been a very exciting player to see over the summer. Had a very favorable loan out at Mirandes last season. So a lot of Sevilla fans are looking forward to him, even just being the straight out backup for Navas at right back. He looks really good going forward. I'm not sure defensively, I haven't seen enough, but he's still a young player, so I still expect him to be a little bit sloppy at the back. But he's looking good, even if he's going to just stay on as a youth team player. He's going to have a youth team squad number, I think. He's going to be like number 26, but I think he's a good addition. Even if we have Montiel still there, I think he's a good addition to even play at the back or even at right wing.
And that's not a given either, because it sounds like Montiel is linked with a couple of different clubs that he could be sold to this summer. So there's still a little bit of time left in the window. Even it's kind of screwy where you start the season before the window closes. But so who knows where Wan Lu will be in the depth chart there. So
yeah, it seems like everything's kind of popping right now, you know, like,
yeah.
Things are really starting to move now in the
like
window.
ACLs. And, yeah. No.
Well, yeah, there you go. Ouch. Ouch. Yeah. I mean, that was a pretty good summary there. I mean, you talked about pretty much everybody that was on my mind.
Pedrosa, right?
Yeah. Pedrosa came in officially. Pedrosa
on the left side, kind of an upgrade over Alex Tejas there.
Well, to be determined, maybe. He didn't play very much last year, so
it doesn't take a lot to upgrade, though. So let's be honest.
He was decent. He's a good player for us. But Pedrosa definitely has the skill set to be good. And he has been good in the past. He was just really injured all last season. So he's only 26, so it's a little bit of youth injection there that's needed all over the pitch. Really haven't addressed anything up front, though, have we? Had a no left winger coming in. Tecatito's still on the squad, although he's heavily rumored to be heading back to Mexico.
I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. I don't know why we're moving on from him. I feel like he could be a main contributor for this team, and we saw that at the end of last year. We saw that at the end of last year when he came on after getting his leg broken in the preseason, basically, coming on and making an immediate impact towards the latter half. Not even the latter half, like the latter four or five games of last year, in the limited minutes that he had. And the rumored transfer fees for him are shockingly low for a player of his caliber. It's because he's a little bit older, and it's because he was coming off an injury that they're that low. I just feel like we would get more value for him on the squad at left, without, I mean, especially with Ryan Hill not on the squad anymore right now either. We don't have anything there. I don't know why we are trying to sell Tecatito of all players when there are other players that we could sell, where we would not be as hamstrung at that position.
Well, you would think we could sell, but we've had 2 months now that hasn't really anything happened to the players that could be sold. So, you know, the team said at the beginning of transfer window that everybody's for sale, and Tecatito's market value is only $8 million, and that's is rumored to be offered. So if that's the case, I mean, for a 30-year-old player, you know, coming off an injury, might not be the worst thing. The problem is, who do you replace him with? And that's,
we don't have anybody on the squad right now.
No, that's we don't. So you have to make a signing, and who is that? And that's, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Eddie's got a whole list of people that he'd love to see in that position, but.
Yeah, Quincy Promise. I would love to see Quincy Promise back here.
Bail him out of jail first, I think.
Yeah, we'll just use the Tecatito money. But yeah,
right.
Why are we getting rid of the ballers, man? I mean, we were able to keep Banega for a long time. I'm very happy and thankful for that. But didn't get to see Promise playing his best position. Tecatito didn't really play for half a season, technically.
Yeah.
So
he played well in that half a season. Like he was the highlight signing of that half a season, which is shocking if you look at it on paper, because we signed Martial during that season as well.
Yeah.
And Tecatito stole the show.
And we're dealing with all the injuries too, so it was tough seeing any bright spots for us, right?
Yeah.
But I do believe they have a plan. I've kind of, like, emotionally, I've already moved on. He's already in Mexico in my mind, just so I'm not heartbroken. You know what I'm saying? But I'm pretty sure the Orta, the new sporting director, is working on it, because I'm pretty sure Idrissi is going to be gone too. So they have to. I'm pretty sure Lamela is not the long term replacement at left wing, and I think they had to make a decision considering Ocampo, Suso, and Lamela are teetering around the 30-year-old age. So it's like, okay, to have to take a Tito as well, just coming off an injury, they kind of have to make a decision here. It sucks that it has to be Jesus Corona, considering what he could offer differently than the other players, which Mende Liba has said in the presser on stateside. But I'm pretty sure they'll got to find someone, hopefully, that's young and vibrant. You know, remember what SA was doing to us at Crystal Palace in that Crystal Palace game? Someone like that. Someone young that could take players on. A little bit of what Idrissi has, a little bit of what Tecatito has, that has pace as well.
Yeah.
I know we have pace with Pedrosa coming in, kind of reminding me of what Reguilón provided. But yeah, we need more of that, because the squad is aging compared to the Valencia side we played today. We were old fogies out there.
Yeah.
So we definitely need a different kind of player out there.
It seemed really telling early on just how slow we were. I mean, we came out of the box slow. We just everything looked slow. Even Fernando, and Fernando's always kind of in the right spots at times. It just seemed like he was a little bit out of position in a few moments today, which is super unusual.
That looked rough.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We're not going to talk about the game too much, but 2-1 loss. Really didn't get anything going. I thought after halftime it would change a little bit. I was actually really surprised that we didn't make any changes at the halftime. You could just tell Mendilibar was just so upset, and like, especially his forwards, because he would just, you know, he was telling them to keep pushing forward, and it just didn't seem like they were getting it. They just kept tracking back, and there wasn't any outlets for them to get forward. And I thought he was going to make a change of some sort at halftime, and it just didn't come. And just lazy defending. Valencia got on the board first, and And then Suso Nation came through with a delicious ball to Nesri, who found the back of the net. Awesome stat on Twitter. Nesri scored more La Liga goals than any other player in 2023. Just throwing that out there.
That's because Benzema's gone, right? I'm pretty sure.
No, it's because Nesri is just baller.
But Benz,
exactly.
Benz was there January through. He was hurt a couple games, but
true.
You know what I mean? Like, they were going head to head. So Nesri's right up there. So anyway,
he's tied for league lead this year too. So
yeah, good stat.
Stop the count.
There you go. he had that great goal. And oh man, my summer is like, was that the Betis game?
Yeah, the Betis game we played.
I believe that was the poop team, right? Betis. That was kind of magical, actually. Here we are, all thinking it was a draw, then bam, 92nd minute, and Nesri puts it in the back of the net. The family in Spain, a lot of them were very upset because I think some of them woke up early to watch that game.
Ooh, wee. 4 a.m.?
Yeah. Yeah. Really early. Here I am tweeting, or not tweeting, but WhatsApping like pictures from the game to the family, and they're split, Betis and Sevilla. So, not something you want to wake up to. This is my ugly butt sending crazy photos. But, yeah, I mean, that was a great strike, and not something we see all the time from Nesri on a volley like that. We see him score with his head a lot, and not so much on a volley. That was beautiful.
Shoulder.
Yeah, or shoulder. Anyway, I don't have much else to say about the game. I mean, red card. Me and Steve were talking a little bit prior to the show. I didn't think it was a red. I thought it was very soft. He went down really, really easy. And I thought Gadelli was right there. So it was hard to say he was the final defender with another defender like standing right beside him. So I thought he got it wrong on the red. I thought it was a foul, sure. But given that a red, I thought it was a little overzealous. Especially after all the red cards La Liga gave last year. I was hoping they would try to fix that. And what the hell is up with the offsides this year, man? Like, twice Nesri was called offside and he was on. Like, can we fix this already? Like, this is, not good.
I'm going to withhold judgment on refereeing until we get a little bit more. I mean, those could have been just as easily could have been, at least the offsides could have been just mistakes by the linesman, because that wasn't something that they could go to VAR, because he already had raised the flag. Once that flag goes up, it affects the players playing on the field, and you need to call it. So,
but you're not supposed to raise a flag. That's the whole point. They tell them not to do it.
That's the thing, but that's an individual mistake. That's an individual mistake. And if it's something that we see persist throughout the year, then I'll have a problem with it. Otherwise, I'll just have a problem with that linesman. And I don't know who that linesman was. I don't know what his name was. So, I don't know.
You're never going to,
I don't really care. Like,
yeah.
The red I would have a little bit more issue with, but I feel like it could have gone either way. It was one of those where, in the moment, I can understand why they gave the red. I'm bummed that he did, but I'm not going to. Of all of the bad decisions that are going to happen in La Liga this year, I feel like when we talk like retrospectively,
pause our hatred.
Yeah, when we look back at the retrospective of the year in May for our end of the season episode, this red card against Bade is not even going to be mentioned. Let's just be honest; it's going to be faint memory of the past.
It might, if it comes down to Sevilla missing out on Champions League by one point.
when Valencia wins the title by 2 points and we take second place, it'll come down to that. Yeah.
Let me go pull out my betting app and put money on that one. Jesus.
Put like $5 on that and retire. Yeah.
I think that's the most frustrating thing about the loss today is, one, losing at home, losing against a Valencia team that finished just out of 18th last year. Right? Like, yeah. What were they, 16th or 7th? I don't even remember. I don't know. Whatever they were. Anyway.
I echo what Eddie said. Like,
just out of dropping. But they haven't made any improvements. Like, they've lost players, but they haven't. They've only signed one player, I think, this year. Like, and to do that today, just so frustrating. But I don't know. And Markel's still out, guys. It's like the same.
He's not even on the team anymore. he's out so long that Orta went on record saying that Goodell is like officially a center back now, and they need to find somebody to replace him in the defensive mid. So it's like we've replaced him basically with Goodell, and I'm not entirely upset with that.
Yeah, I mean, clearly he's probably our best defender at the moment, which is scary.
Well, I feel like at the end of last year, the combination of Goodell and Bede was a really solid combination. And if we can get back to that and build upon that this year, I guess we'll have to we can build on it next week in midweek against Man City, throw them in the fire. But yeah, like once they hit their stride, it'll be, I feel like those two can pair up really well.
Yeah. Great point. I mean, here we got Man City coming up on Wednesday for the, UEFA Super Cup final there. Eddie, why should Sevillistas have any hope of pulling out a result in that one?
Because we're Sevilla Football Club. That's the only reason. Maybe the players' minds were on that game because we looked like we were playing without a plan. It's like it's the same. These are the same players. Like, how are we playing like this?
Yeah,
as if they've never played before, played together before. But against Man City, I mean, we're still the kind of team that raises their level when we're playing a good team and drops it when we're playing scum like Valencia. So it's kind of disappointing that it happens, but it always happens. It's like just play at a standard level that shows how good your team is. And then when the good teams come, then you raise that level. So it was disappointing how they showed up today. But yeah, maybe their minds were on Wednesday, knowing that there's the treble winners are going to be in front of them. But looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to Bade taking the Haaland test, because Koundé and Diego Carlos didn't pass it. So I really wanted to see Marcao in that matchup, but I mean, it'll be a learning experience. But it's you don't get to face teams like that often, right? So whenever we do, it's a welcome challenge. What we do, our players are going to compete no matter what. So I'm not pessimistic or optimistic. It's just whatever happens on the day. It's like a cup final, right?
Yeah.
Anything could happen in that 90 minutes. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's we don't have to play against teams of Man City's quality all year. Like like you said, it's final. It's 90, maybe 120 minutes at most. And it just, anything can happen.
If it goes to PKs, we win, right? I mean, that's what we hope for.
As long as Bono's not in Madrid, so.
That's a good point. I saw someone on Twitter and somebody asked, like, you know, the first offer that came in, supposedly, right, was although Castro said that there's been no talk, which that's probably just lip service, but you know, the first rumor was like 5 million loan for 1 year for Madrid, and I'm like, no. Bono's worth more than 5 million euros just on victories alone. Like, if he helps you progress out of Champions League group, that's worth more than 5 million. Like, you don't, that's crazy.
I don't think he's going to go to Madrid.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think that the team is going to sell him for a fee that is low enough for Madrid to justify it. Because if you look at it from Madrid's perspective, sure, they've got the money for it and they can make the investment in it. They could pay 100 million for him if they wanted to and not feel it. Let's be honest. They never do that because that would be a very bad business decision, but they could do it. But he's going to miss 19 games next year. No, 13 games next year. If Morocco goes to the final in the African Cup of Nations, which based on their performance in the World Cup is a very real possibility. That Moroccan team is strong and they've gotten arguably stronger since the World Cup. So that January window, there's 13 games that Real Madrid will be playing in there. That is the first three rounds of Copa del Rey. That's four or five rounds of La Liga. And it's potentially the first leg of the first knockout round of Champions League, depending on when Morocco gets back. So if Madrid is going to be shelling out sizable amounts of money for a goalkeeper that's going to miss quite possibly one of the a crucial stretch of their season, I can understand why Madrid doesn't want to pay it. But that being said, it's not up to us to bow down to Madrid and give them what they want. I mean, if they want Bono, come get him. Come get him. The $5 million is embarrassingly low. The $20 million that has been quoted out there is still too low. The $30 million is getting closer. I wouldn't necessarily be upset with $30 million. I'd be kind of bummed about it, but I wouldn't be all up in arms. But you also got to keep in mind that this is only a 1-year deal. Like, this is a 1-year thing because they got Courtois coming back next year, and he's solidified himself as the starter for as long as he's able. So all of that being said, those are the reasons why I don't think that we would. Well, I don't think that Bono's going to play there.
Yeah. It seems like it'd be a safer, and we know how De Gea is, but I mean, he's out there for free. Like,
yeah,
you kind of have to give him a look first, right? Like, you just, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he's on a free.
I know. I mean, Eddie's shaking his head. Like, I mean, he's terrible. Like, we know that he's not great. We've seen that in action, but I mean, I don't know. Do you pay $20 million for Bono and when you could get De Gea for free? I don't know. I mean, Bono's going to win you games or save you games. We know that.
I could see us selling Bono for $30 million and then signing De Gea and having De Gea and Dimitrovic rotate through competition. I don't want that, but I could see our front office doing that, especially if it justifies signing somebody. If we take that $30 million and sign somebody on the left,
please don't put that into existence, please, man.
Yeah,
please. We've all been thinking it for 2 days now, right?
No, like,
not De Gea. I don't want that to happen in any regard. One, he's going to be high salary. Like, he's not.
Yeah.
He will come high salary.
That is. Then we're not going to get him. Like, let's be honest. Like, nobody's going to get him. No, nobody in their right mind is going to pay anything close to what Man United is paying for any of the players on Man United. Like,
maybe in Saudi Arabia.
Well, yeah. I mean, nobody in Europe that needs a goalkeeper is going to pay for him at his salary. So if he wants to play in Europe, he's going to need to lower his salary.
Of course. I mean, he's going to drop his salary, but is it going to be to an amount that we can afford or should afford? No. He's not going to take that little. It's kind of like Ramos. I mean,
yeah,
Ramos the same. Like, he still is not going to drop that salary to a point where it makes sense for us to go in and buy him. Maybe if it's like, I don't know, is there a league minimum? I don't even know if that exists. I mean, yeah, it doesn't like our professional sports, but I just can't see. I don't know what Madrid's going to do.
Not my problem, right?
No, it's not our problem. Unless we do something stupid, then it's our problem. And really? We have done stupid things in the past, selling people way below their market value.
Not with this
to a competitor.
Not with this sporting director.
Well, that's true too.
Yep, we haven't even talked about that yet.
I know, that is kind of funny. Our whole podcast has gone Monchi's, man, and here we are losing Monchi in the offseason. We hadn't even mentioned the damn thing. Like, it's kind of amazing that we've been talking for 35 minutes and haven't even brought it up. The man that we you know, named our supporters group and also podcast is no longer a Sevilla employee. I'm sure at heart he's still a Sevillista, and he'll always be a legend and will always be a member of the Monty's Men forum name. But yeah, he decided to leave. I guess get out of his contract. Did we ever get money for that? Did they ever say? I don't even remember at this point. Did they pay the $5 million?
Or I think he did.
Was it just kind of swept under? I don't know.
I think so. I think that's, who knows? Because yeah. I feel like whenever they mention things that are stalling deals, I feel like it's already been done. It's just whatever comes out to the press afterwards. But I think there was some kind of clause involved that got paid, considering he left before, right? So I believe there was, but it's not as if it was that significant. The damage was done already. It's crazy that it happened, especially at the time that it did. But the timing, it's like, it's crazy that, it's still crazy that Sevilla pulled off what they did at the end of last season. Right? So,
yeah.
I don't really blame him for leaving, especially if the environment wasn't good to work in, because we all feel it when this team takes a loss, right? Mm-hmm. So in his position, there's so many things have been happening around the club.
Yeah.
That season in particular. So even from a health standpoint, I don't mind him just changing the scenery, and go work with someone he has had success with Unai Emery. So,
yep.
And it's a good project there at Aston Villa. So, good luck to him.
Gives me somebody to root for him. It gives me somebody to root for in the EPL. Actually, I don't have a team, so why not?
We don't have to. We could low key wish they do bad so he comes back. But I'd like to see. from just the month that he's been here, I'm fairly impressed with how Orta is carrying himself and what he's done so far. It has been very, very little, but there's a lot of work to do. But he's saying all the right things. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to what he does.
Yeah. I got to shake his hand, but I forgot to take a picture with him in San Francisco. He's getting off the bus, and I was like, Orta! And I think he was surprised anybody knew who he was. That happened to him twice. I think Ryan, their buddy Ryan,
got a picture same with thing. Him, right?
Yeah, Ryan did get a picture in Guadalajara with him. I didn't do too much around the team in Guadalajara. I was trying to enjoy the city and kind of keep my distance. I didn't want to seem like a stalker too much. Ryan, on the other hand, stalker city. Just kidding. It's all good.
I can't wait to talk to Ryan next, because I feel like he's going to have some great stories about heckling Betis in particular from the two games that y'all were at. So
yeah, I don't know, man. We didn't do too much heckling.
It wasn't like when you were in DC.
No, I mean, in DC we were like right there, you know, like we were right behind the goal, and then we went out to where the players were coming out, so we were being extra pests there. The stadium, we were close, but not like, I don't know. They could, they probably could hear us, but I don't know. To be honest, the San Fran event was such a great event that it was kind of like a celebration of La Liga. It was cool to see all these fans from different teams in the same spot, all getting along, all chatting, giving each other a little hard time, you know, but at the same time, all there for one purpose, a love for football and a love for La Liga and a love for their club. Seeing kids like go crazy for Real Sociedad here in the United States, like that's not something you see every day. Being able to get, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 Sevillistas together in one spot for a photograph. I don't know how many it was, probably not even that many, but it was just cool. I mean, it was a good event. I think they could have done more and be more inclusive to the fans. It was kind of strange.
It sounds like they're going to. I don't know if you heard it, but they had a couple of interview slots on SiriusXM leading up to it. They're talking that this is this is the kickoff of years and years and years to come of La Liga tours in the U.S. There's only four teams this year. They want to expand that out to 8, 12, 16 teams in future years in multiple cities and like just host this and really build up a North American audience. So.
Yeah, I hope they took the time and learned what they could have done. Like I just felt like missed opportunities, right? So, for instance, Sevilla had a booth there. There's only two booths. Atletico Madrid had one, and then Sevilla had one. Sevilla had actually a pretty good booth. They had the Europa League trophy there. It wasn't the latest one, I don't think, but they had a Europa League trophy there.
Just anyone, right? Yeah, take your pick,
right? And you can come up and have your photo made with that. They had a little game where it was like a kick around game where you try to get all these points, and if you got a certain number or something, they give you like a prize. Awesome, like little cool event that got people that you know wasn't Sevilla fans into their booth because hey, it's a game, we can do something. This is something different.
Yeah.
Atletico, I don't know what they were doing. I didn't go to their tent, but it was like they had like some kits and I don't know, something. Not much of anything, but Betis and Real Sociedad, I didn't see anything in the stadium, yeah. So like no opportunity to get to know that club anymore.
You don't need to.
Definitely. Well, I know, but missed opportunity for them, right? But for Sevilla in particular, like, okay, you're coming to the United States. They had a group of players that they knew weren't going to play, right? They weren't on the bench. They weren't going to play. They went and practiced that morning prior to the game. Everybody else was in the hotel. So you knew Tecatito, Montiel, Papu. I forgot who else. So there, you had a handful of players there. Why wouldn't you take them and like put them up there and give out free signatures for half an hour, an hour, like just to get people engaged? Oh, that's, you know, somebody, a World Cup winner right here giving autographs. Like that would have just created a huge buzz that would have brought people over to that tent and you could have capitalized. They didn't even have like employees from the club running the tent. It was just like, you know, like, I don't even know who it was. It was just like two guys there, like, or one guy and one girl, like running the tent. So it wasn't even like if people had questions or wanted to know more about the club, they couldn't have answered that. Like it was like things like that. And maybe people didn't care or wanted to, you know, I don't know, but it seemed like little missed opportunities. There was
baby steps.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I just hope they learn from this experience. There was I did get the new kit. They did have those for sale in San Francisco. They had a few, I think, in Guadalajara, but not a lot. They also had one of the training kits for sale for Sevilla. Atletico had two, like the one kit and then a training kit, and then Betis and Real Sociedad just had their main kit. We did. Kristen, shout out to Kristen for a second. She, there was two guys coming up wanting to buy an Atletico shirt, and it already sold out of the particular one. So she talked them into buying a Sevilla shirt, which was kind of cool. Hey, but it was just that. It was just people looking for a football feel, and it was just awesome. Great event. Hopefully they make it better. Hopefully Sevilla can take this experience and learn . And I talked to them a little bit about how to grow the U.S. market, and I don't know, man. These guys, they're so.
I think they're going to have a lot of tools. Focused. I think they're going to have a lot of tools provided to them by La Liga. The director of North American marketing for La Liga has only been in this position for almost 2 years at this point. So there's been a lot that's happened. He facilitated the first thing that they did under him was the ESPN Plus licensing rights so that it can get out to everybody. And then the second big thing that they had was this tour, the kickoff for that. So right now, in my mind, he and his team are batting 1,000 with La Liga North American in terms of growing the game here. I'm just really excited to see where it comes in the future. And, you know, we got a really, really, really great soccer stadium in St. Paul, Minnesota. So Anytime the team or any team, I will go on record saying that if there is any ever a La Liga team that plays in Minnesota, I will be there. Unless it's Betis. I'll probably still be there too.
Yeah, you got to go chant and make a deal like,
right?
Like me and Ryan did.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's pretty much all I got this round. Everybody out there, the three of us have been chatting offline and even on the Monty's Men forums about possibly modifying the name of the podcast to something more, I guess, inclusive of
the team specific.
Team specific and more of what our focus is, right? Our focus is to grow Sevilla in the English speaking world. Those folks that don't speak Spanish, like me and Steve, and Eddie's probably better than all of us there with his French background, but. I did okay in Guadalajara, guys. Like, Guadalajara, no English. You had to speak Spanish. It was pretty nice. Impressive. I got a lot of practice. I did pretty good. Still a lot of work to do, but did okay. But anyway, back to the point. Another reason that we're looking to do it is pure marketing driven, right? If it's more along the lines of, you know, something with Sevilla in the name, it gets better SEO, search engine optimization, gets linked out a little easier. And then the other thing, and I experienced this, like going up to Del Nido and Castro being like, hey, I'm Chris Lell from Monty's Men, was a little awkward in Guadalajara after what we experienced, you know, in the off season. It was a little bit of a tricky situation there for me. We don't want to get confused with Aston Villa either. So there's a multitude of reasonings why we're thinking about changing the name. If you've got any suggestions, please let us know. We've got some ideas, but we're still kicking some things around. And until the meantime, we'll still be the Monty's Men podcast, looking for a way to branch out and bring in a bigger audience. Also, any kind of like content or feedback on the podcast, please let us know. Info at montysmen.com is a good way to send out information, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Chris Lell. Just send me a private message. Well, talking about branding, what a dumbass, man. Like, you take one of the biggest known brands and you screw it up by putting it as an X. Like, come on. Not only is it trademarked three different ways, but yeah, come on. What a moron. Anyway, I don't get it. I don't understand it. But I'm hoping that there's another platform coming up that would just kill it, that we can migrate to, because
I don't want to have to build a following again.
I would do it in a heartbeat, because I'm just like done with that dude. This is so bad. Anyway, yeah, back to the subject. Monty's Men podcast, new name. Let us know what it is. We'd love to figure it out. Maybe we could do like a sponsor. Like, if you pick the new name and we like it, we'll shoot you a bufanda or something. A Sevilla bufanda. Maybe we can sponsor something like that. I don't know. Anyway, guys, you want to talk about anything else before we get out of here and get some grub on this Friday night?
No, we got some friends. I got some friends coming over. My family's out of town, so I got some friends coming over to watch another soccer game this evening. So time to
party at Steve's house.
Time to switch my jersey out for a light blue one. We lost, but it's always great talking with you two, and I'm looking forward to talking a lot and have an opportunity maybe to talk with some folks from Man City ahead of the next game on Wednesday. So we need to. Chris and I need to follow up with that on the X and make sure that we've got something lined up there. But they seem like a small podcast similar to us. They're not like a major Man City podcast. And they're going into the third season, so it's kind of cool to be able to talk to another kind of fledgling podcast. And they seem down to earth. They're all North American based too, so it's kind of cool to get that perspective of not being like local fans. So
it'll be cool. You remind me of that. I totally forgot. So we'll do that.
They followed me on Twitter too, so you know I gotta like them because I don't have a whole lot of Twitter followers. So
X.
They followed me on X.
they're X followers. Yeah, right. It's so stupid. The branding doesn't make any sense. So dumb. So stupid. Anyway, speaking of branding, though, the La Liga logo, I know a lot of people hate it. I kind of like the new La Liga logo.
I'm nothing it. Like, it's, I mean, it's indifferent. Like,
it's red and white. Like, why wouldn't we like
it? Yeah. It looks a lot better on our kids than this. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks great. Yeah. I don't even know if it's on this one. Yeah. Yeah. There it is. Yep.
It looks a lot better on our kids. I think that'll probably be the case for most teams in La Liga, too, though, because there's a lot of red and white in La Liga, and the blue of a lot of teams will go well with that as well. So
I like the old logo, but it's kind of a modern twist. They kind of did the Juventus thing a little bit here. Anyway, I like it. Eddie, any final words?
Just take home another trophy, man. Let's go. Where is the game being played? Is that in Germany?
No, it's in Greece. It's in Athens.
Oh, sorry, Athens. Yeah.
Yep. It'll be where I am in October. So I wish that I was on my sabbatical right now because I could be watching Sevilla play Man City, but we're going to be 2 months too late.
Man.
So I'm crossing my fingers for a Greek team to make it through qualification and get into our pot. And so that when I'm over there for Champions League, I can go to a Sevilla game because there's a possibility of it happening. It's not likely that I'll be able to go just based on where we're going to be, but I'll be in Greece for 4 weeks in October and November, and I will be at a game. I will be at least one game when I'm over there, but it would be awesome to have it be a Sevilla game. So we'll see what happens.
That's interesting. That's definitely interesting. So Sevilla's got, we hadn't won this trophy in a while. Like we're due.
It's been a long time. Yeah.
We're due to win this trophy.
We almost had it. We almost had it against Bayern. Nesyri pulled an early Nesyri mistake, and I feel like Nesyri of the last 6 months would have roasted the Bayern team. Even Nesyri of today would have roasted that Bayern team with that opportunity, but, you know, can't be living in the past.
Yep. So that's it. Got the game on Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, I guess 9 p.m. over in Europe. And then after that, Sevilla travels to Alaves. That's on a Monday. It's a Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern game, 7 p.m. Europe. it's an interesting time there. But anyway, that's it. I guess until the next time. One last thing I want to say is keep getting better, Sergio Rico. It sounded like we had a little setback, but keep fighting, man. That was terrible news this summer. And Nuka Serende, right? Like, don't give up, man. Keep fighting. That said, guys, it's been a pleasure as always. Vamos, mi Sevilla.
Vamos, campeón.
Y nunca te rindas.
Muy bien.